This episode of Critical Hit is being brought to you by Harry's. Go to harrys.com right now and enter the code Critical Hit at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's harrys.com, code Critical Hit. Greetings, everyone. It's Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com. I know, you are eager to get into hashtag storytime this week. I'm using hashtag storytime because so many of you are using it now on Twitter. And if you couple this week, as you listen to this week's episode, hashtag storytime, hashtag critical hit, we can follow along with you. But I wanted to take a moment to remind those of you playing 5th edition that Wizards of the Coast has a new book coming out in a couple of weeks called Volo's Guide to Monsters. It comes out on November 4th. It's just a few short weeks away. Or already passed. Hello, future people. Anyway, Volo's Guide to Monsters takes a deeper look at some of Dungeons & Dragons' most iconic characters, including the Beholders, the Mind Flayers, the Yuan-Ti, which, you know, interestingly is what I thought Matthew's character was for a long time until, you know, vampire. So Yuan-Ti and a whole lot more can be found in this book, and those who dare read up on these foul creatures will discover fascinating details about their origins, dispositions, and behaviors, and their lairs. Now, that's what Wizards of the Coast has for the book, and it sounds pretty cool, and it might be what a dungeon master who's crafting Fantastic Realms might want to add to their collection to help enrich the environment that these creatures live in. I know. Who reads books anymore, right? Do you? Good. But if you don't, I've talked before about Roll20.net and its collaboration with Wizards of the Coast to bring 5th edition modules into the virtual environment. We talked about Storm King's Thunder was the most recent campaign to do that, and the two companies are doing again with Volo's Guide to Monsters. Now, Roll20.net contacted me earlier this week about the online edition of Volo's Guide to Monsters, and it looks like there's a bunch of other extras that you get when you unlock the guide in your Roll20 account. From their press release, it says you'll unleash brand new entries with the current Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition Compendium, unlockable upon purchase. The Compendium is available both on the Roll20 site and in-game. There's over 130 statted tokens featuring original artwork from Dungeons & Dragons. Players can delve into the belly of the beast with all 7 monster lair battle maps from the book. It includes a setup, how to do it, in the module. The module is an advanced feature enabled with dynamic lighting on all 7 maps. Now, that sounds pretty cool, too, for those of you that are using this. But I think this is the most interesting thing of all. You know, you may not want to use a pre-built module. Maybe you have something already in mind and you want to throw in a couple of Yuan-Ti to throw off the rest of your players before revealing that it's really a chupacabra. Users can access the Compendium tab on the Roll20 tabletop to find entries on the monsters and drag and drop them into their pre-existing adventures. This is exactly what I was talking about a few weeks ago with Storm King's Thunder, that I want to be able to do that with these things. And with Volo's Guide to Monsters, you can do it. I'm going to be looking into the expansion over the next couple of weeks. Many of you reached out to me a couple of weeks ago when I asked who was using Storm King's Thunder on Roll20. You know, it was a listener suggestion that even got us into the Roll20 system to begin with. I know a number of you had reached out about that years ago, so thank you for that. But what I'm really interested in finding out is not whether you're going to use Volo's Guide to Monsters or anything like that. What I'm interested in finding out is how many of you actually use Roll20 for your virtual tabletop gameplay. So here's what I've done. Over at MajorSpoilers.com, I've created a poll for this week's episode that I would love for you to answer. Now, it's not a requirement, but I would love to find out this from our listeners. Do you use Roll20? Yes or no? It's a very simple poll. I'd love to read your comments in the comment section. And you know what? Even if you're not using Roll20, if you're using some other system, we'd all love to read about it as well. So think of this as a chance to plug your favorite virtual tabletop system. And that's it. I just wanted to share the news with you about Volo's Guide to Monsters ahead of this week's hashtag storytime episode. Our sponsor this week is Harry's. Now listen, I've been talking about this for years. I love shaving my face with razors from Harry's, and I know you will too. It doesn't matter if you're using the 5-blade razor that includes a flex hinge for more comfortable shave, or the lubricating strip, or even the little trimmer blade so you can get into those hard-to-reach places. Your face and your wallet are going to love the results. Now, Harry's blades are just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more that you're going to pay at the drugstore. Harry's is so confident in the quality of the blades that they'll send you their popular trial set, which comes with a razor, a 5-blade cartridge, and shaving gel, absolutely free when you sign up for a shave plan. All you have to do is pay the shipping. And if you use the code CRITICALHIT at checkout, which I know you will, Harry's is also going to throw in a post-shave balm with your order for free. Love the post-shave balm. Makes your face feel so good. So here's what you need to do, ladies and gentlemen. Go to Harry's.com right now. Enter the code CRITICALHIT at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's Harry's.com and use the code CRITICALHIT. Thank you, Harry's, for sponsoring this week's episode. And now, here's Critical Hit. Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you, everyone, for joining us once again. Are you ready for a tale? I know I'm ready for a tale.
Gather around, children.
Story time.
So story time. Rodrigo, it's up to you.
Right. So, last time
on Critical Hit,
there were some words exchanged.
Some were rude.
Yeah. Some were. The fourth oldest inspector doesn't feel like the team's up to the task and doesn't feel that they have enough information. So the Queen's Rebellious Daughter was like, yeah. And now she's going to give them the information.
She said we were immature and we said she was just a big duty head.
Yeah, pretty much. So
on Critical Hit.
Yes, as you remember, last time on Critical Hit, she, the Queen's Rebellious Daughter, threw some energized powder into the fire that everybody was sitting around and made a big golden pillar. And then with her mystical tuning fork begins kind of waving it around, and these trails of blue kind of particles, glowing blue particles, begin to appear in the smoke that is kind of lit up from underneath. She says, once, a very long time ago, there was a great civilization, unparalleled in magic, technology, language, art. And as she says that, the particles begin to form what appear to be buildings with very strange architecture. It basically, she makes a skyline with like little things moving around it, which it's hard to tell exactly what those are, but there's some sort of vehicle or creature that flies around these buildings. And she says, at the height of their culture, their mystics realize their reality was not the only one. Now, these creatures, they call themselves the Asimar. In their high speech, those with a voice. So, suddenly they were very excited. They set out to contact these other worlds. By their reckoning, their world was one of 23. And she flicks her tuning fork, and these glowing dots arrange themselves. And it's basically one on top, then this kind of zigzag of dots below it, kind of in a wider space, then another one on the bottom. Essentially, if you were to bring them all together, they basically make kind of this like diamond-y shape, like one point at the top, wide at the middle, close at the bottom, and then essentially another such structure underneath with like 23 points, the one in the middle joining the two kind of conical structures. With much haste and excitement, they set out to make contact. When they did, they found very little. Just very early civilizations, if you could even call them that. Almost no magic codification, little in the way of art, music, science. Mostly they found creatures trying to survive. The ones that were sentient, they were just hiding and trying to eke out an existence from animals, supernatural horrors, whatever it was that Vertex had going on. And the Asimar were very disappointed. contact was very difficult. There was no language in if the locals even had a language, it certainly wasn't complex enough to deal with the concepts that the ASMR wanted to talk about. They were just too rudimentary. Whenever the ASMR would show up, they would either be attacked on sight because these creatures were terrified of them, or they were immediately dropped to their knees and worshipped them as gods. Needless to say, they were very distraught. They had all this progress and culture and art, music, magic, technology to show off, and no one to show it to. No one that could actually understand it. And so they created the megaliths. They made these great stone constructs, and into them they wrote a sort of code. These were the pinnacle of magic and technology, magic strong enough to write into reality itself, to change the fundamental nature of certain things. And so they coded into it a simplified version of their own culture, their language, art, science, magic, even things like teamwork, the sorts of things that they had now taken for granted as the bedrocks of their society, they broke down and wrote into it. And then they sent the megaliths into these other places to change the sentience. Of course, you'd have no frame of reference, but have you ever wondered how people across continents all speak the same language? How people across dimensions all speak the same language? What you call common is a simplified version of the ASMR language. Huh. And
you'd said it was classified when we asked about it?
That's right. Well, I'm declassifying you as we speak. So, the megaliths were hugely successful. Now, cultures began to flourish at an accelerated rate all across all the vertices. The ASMR were very pleased with their work, and they just sat back and waited. And in only a few generations, they would have, quote-unquote, someone else to talk to. Of course, some cultures developed faster than others. And she changes things up. Everything gets a little darker and a little redder. And you see these roughly humanoid shapes gathering around a megalith in the smoke. One, though, took to it much faster than the rest. In just under a century, they had gone from bronze to steel to mithril to Puritron mesh. You guys will get there eventually. And soon, they began to greatly improve their magic and technology, becoming master artificers and wizards. The ASMR affectionately called them the Rakshasi, the children of the new day. So the progenitors, the ASMR, looked on as the proud parents of a precocious child. Even as their children began to analyze and exploit the magics within the megaliths. Soon, the Shasi had mostly figured out ASMR technology, and the proud ASMR prepared to send an envoy to greet their cultural progeny into a new cross-dimensional community. But it wasn't meant to be. The Rakshasi had, through studying the megalith, discerned that there were other vertices, each with a megalith of their own. They modified the slab to work first as a scrying device and then as a great siphon that would drain the other worlds of their energy and allow them to become godlike beings. The ASMR, of course, didn't realize this until it was too late. They were too proud to aloof to really understand what was happening. The first vertex to fall to the Rakshasi machine was the world of the Asimar. It imploded into nothingness in a single moment. There were just so many prototype megaliths there that it just went in an instant. Now, even with the megaliths in place, the Asimar never really stopped meddling with the other vertices. Roughly 180 agents were scattered throughout, and when the Rakshasi crisis hit, they sprung into action. The agents were able to protect 11 of the attacked vertices before reversing the megalith siphon and obliterating the Rakshasi and all life on their plane. She flicks her hand, and the points reappear, and then a bunch of them just go dark. And then they just, as she continues to talk, they just slowly rearrange themselves into that roughly spherical shape that you've seen before. Of these agents, 100 survived. The last remnants of an ancient and powerful culture, now barely enough to populate a small hamlet. The agents came together and swore, guilt-stricken and bereaved, that nothing like this would ever recur, that they would never again make such a grievous oversight. But there were few of them. What would happen when they died? Who would continue to watch over the remaining vertices? And so they took their own personal hopes and goals, their former lives and identities, their maladies, the color of their eyes, and the eventuality of their death. And then they put them in a cage forged from their own names and cast it into the void between vertices. They became Deva in their old high tongue, have nothing, those that have nothing. Sworn to keep the vertices from interacting, as punishment for their former culture's hubris, doomed to walk through the cultures they created, hearing the echoes of their dead tongue, notes from their dead songs, the whispers of their dead magic, a legacy of ghosts that now permeates this lessened universe. And those guys are us, by the way. That's actually what I was getting at. I figured you'd figured it. Yeah, you're smart. You know that.
That was clear.
Okay. The inspector is sitting there, cross-armed and fuming. And the pioneer discreetly wipes a little tear. So we think that this whole thing, everything, started out with like finding out a source of energy in another vertex. We think that's the megalith in the corpse. We sent some agents, but they have not returned. We haven't heard from them. So that's what's at stake. It's
are
not just
Rakshasi still out there?
We believe they're all dead, but they were very powerful. In their own right, a match for the Asimar. So we don't know. We don't think they are, but we know that there's a great risk with the coil finding the megalith, especially with an organization as predisposed for magic and technology as the coil is. We're concerned that even if they can't fully figure them out, they will figure them out enough, if you know what I mean.
Certainly. I mean, having done any traveling, I'm actually amazed that the coil isn't more influential on this vertice, or for that matter, just the southern continent's culture. It's just way ahead of what I saw elsewhere.
Yes. It's lucky that they seem to have they don't seem to have much vision. They see something in front of them and they want it. Unfortunately, this very dangerous thing is in front of them now. Mm-hmm. So I know that this is not going to be an easy plea for you to hear, but I want you to be patient with my colleague. This happened a long time ago, but this is why we do what we do. And she's just tense about it. She kind of like looks over, and by this point, the fourth oldest inspector had just sat down, and she's just cross-armed and just like staring directly into the fire, and not making eye contact with anybody.
Sorry for your people's loss.
Well, says the Queen's Rebellion's daughter, our people's loss is our people's fault. And that's where this all comes from. This wouldn't be happening if it wasn't because of us. I think maybe there's something altruistic somewhere in the back of the fourth oldest inspector's head. She doesn't want you to have to go through this. She wants to take this away from you because you're babies. And you are to us to a certain degree. But that doesn't mean that you don't get to make your own decisions. So that's our deal.
Well, I stand by. I will do everything I can to stop the coil.
Yes. As do I. As do I think all of us.
Yep.
Tekiotl is just like sitting there with his beak open. Like, this is like the most intense thing that has ever happened to me.
Sparkle just like puts a reassuring hand on his shoulder.
Does this happen all the time?
This is more extreme, but you kind of jumped into the deep end of being a truant.
I guess. The fourth oldest inspector looks at the Queen's rebellious daughter and says, you phrase that so that they would want to get involved. And she just like, she shrugs again and she's like, well, then you should have told the story. She takes her umbrella and just like plants it on the ground, which is stone, and it just like clinks in. And she says, she throws her hands in the air and says, fine, it's not even my vertex.
Mm-hmm.
The Sagittarius Orbit Pioneer is eating some stuff. He like got some noodles somewhere. So now that we know everything, says the Queen's Rebellion's daughter, what is the plan?
I still say we should get in touch with the elves, see what information they have about this city, and any ideas that they might have about people moving towards it. We can go over these papers Tekiotl took and see if we can figure out more about what it is they're building, especially if you're willing to help. You would have a better idea of if this is something that is in fact being used to tap into this artifact, or if they're trying to build a better version of Lex device and move themselves somewhere.
Yeah. Once we got close enough, we would certainly be able to detect any energies that they were using. That would be easy, but interestingly, they may not be using enough power for this whole thing to actually work. So it has made it difficult for us to track exactly where this is happening. But once we get close enough, we should be able to get a handle on it.
Well, also, you seem very, very skilled with mechanics. I mean, if we give you a list of parts or told you some of the things that they're doing, would you have a better idea of what it is?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they're making some sort of either gateway machine or a very rudimentary vertex transporter. That okay. has to be what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And you think they're trying to go to the corpse?
Almost certainly, which, as you may recall, is a very dangerous proposition. Since the corpse is not directly adjacent to the bloom.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about your death weapon.
So the ASMR didn't start out as entirely enlightened creatures. So that was a period of war. Honestly, though, the big development with the Melter did come from art. There were just a lot of mountain ranges that got moved and put somewhere else with it. So it's one of the things that we did manage to recover. And it is dangerous.
Sounds like
it's not going to have to come to that. Honestly, assuming everyone on this side is in, and she looks at the fourth oldest inspector, who like hands like waves her away in a like yeah I'm in kind of way. We already have a lot of puissance over here, as it were, plus you guys. This could turn in our favor, assuming that we can get all our information in a row. And that's what it's going to come down to, is can we get there fast enough? Can we get inside? And are we going to make all the right moves when we're there? I know there's a lot of power sitting around this fire, but the real issue is directing it appropriately.
The only reason I ask about the Melter is if the coil have moved up to a secret location and it's only the coil there, as a last resort, you know, that would be a way to take it out. I mean, it's not destroying the city. It's someplace up in the mountains. So
right.
I wouldn't totally rule that out.
Depending.
Well, that's quite your we're not sure if it's like more like a laser or you know, a giant bomb. It might not have the precision to take out the mountain base without also taking out half of New Malakal.
Yeah. If I know anything about mountain rages, is definitely if you change them, then things change. So we're talking about a pretty drastic thing. But we'll just keep it in our pocket.
Speaking of things kept in pockets, you guys are all super knowledgeable, world traveling people. She'll pull out the thing from her bag of holding. Do you have any idea what this is?
The Queen's Rebellious daughter, like, grabs it, starts walking away with it.
Grab her.
Okay.
Sikar grabs her.
Okay. Oh, that was weird.
Yeah. We each have one.
Yeah, we found them in craters?
In the mountains.
Nope, I don't know what this is. Any of you seen this before? And the other two look at it and they shake their heads. Nope, this is new.
Huh. Exciting.
Terrifying.
My bag.
What are these things?
I really don't know.
Continued mystery.
We can figure that out when we deal with the larger issue at hand.
Yeah.
I was just on the off chance that this wound up being something magically useful. Figured we should put all our assets on the table.
It was definitely that's
the right call.
Consideration.
Yeah. Yeah, we should put all of our assets on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Horam says, looking at Sakaar.
Here.
Well.
What's happening now? Does the Queen's Rebellion start like looking back and forth?
I don't know. Apparently, Sakaar has a secret asset. If Orym is, because Orym is not especially subtle, so that's
what
I'm picking from that.
I'm just saying, if any of us have any assets,
sure,
we should let people know. Or not?
No. You're right.
I mean, look at this guy over here with his mouth hanging open. I want to see if it. I want to see if it goes open any further.
Oh, please don't. Don't break, Techie.
Oh, Master Rivendorn, you will be the death of us.
Yeah, maybe.
Fine.
I think the coils more likely to be the death of us, but
yeah. Oh no, they're merely an obnoxious irritant. Sakaar stands, and he crosses his arms, and he tries not to be super stupid dramatic, while super stupidly dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Master Rivendorn is referring to the fact that during our excursion in the sewers, he discovered the truth of my nature, and that is that I am half vampire.
Oh, that's what it is. I just kept looking at this guy and I was like, what is it?
Oh, is that how you see in the dark so well? Because I noticed earlier that you see in the dark pretty well. And like when I was running with Rusty Scabbard, he was always complaining about that whenever we tried to do scouting missions.
Mm, yes. Humans are bad at seeing in the dark.
They're terrible about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is the reason why I can see in the dark. It's the reason for a number of my unusual abilities, although many of them are also simply things that I've learned as a bright one, but I should have told those of you that I've been traveling with long before this, and I did not expect to be telling a crowd of this size.
Hmm.
But
so you drink blood?
On occasion, yes.
That's why you were having problems on the train, because you hadn't drank blood in a while?
Seemingly so, yes.
Cool. And why didn't you tell us this before? When we were all freaking out about what was wrong with you on the train?
Because I wasn't certain that it was related to anything until our adventure in the mountains.
You didn't think to, like, I don't know, maybe toss that out there as a possibility, a data point we should know about? It's like, are you under any guesses?
Well,
cursed?
You know,
have you been cursed with undeath?
To be fair, a lot of people don't like vampires. And I can understand Sakaar not wanting to tell people. But here's the positive thing that we can look at. He can do some things that we don't know about yet.
Oh?
And that is going to give us the advantage.
Nice to have an advantage yesterday, but okay.
Look at the positives. Don't dwell on the negatives.
And ask yourself, am I the only one keeping secrets, Mayurl?
What? What secrets? I've been up front with you since I've met you. Mm-hmm. Ever answered every question you've asked me, honestly.
This is not going well.
No.
Says the Queen's Rebellious Daughter to the other Deva. It's mom stuff, isn't it?
Comments don't help. No.
She, like, the Queen's Rebellious Daughter, like, leans in and she's like, it's mom stuff, isn't it? Like, this is, like, is your mom a vampire?
Yes.
Yeah. There's one thing throughout the universe that I found that just gets people to freak out, and that's their parents. Right? Mm-hmm. She looks at Orym.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. Parents are the worst.
Uh-huh. You make a fair point, and I do apologize.
Well, Randus's parents are pretty great.
That's true. Randus's parents are lovely.
But he did freak out.
True. Yeah, true. I suppose.
Yeah, well, my dad lives in New Malakal, so if we're talking about, and he's the only family I have left, so if we're talking about the possibility of the city having to be destroyed if we fail, then I guess, please, Stakar, tell us about your magical powers that may help us in the future quickly, and then we'll contact the elves and make a plan and start dealing with this situation.
I understand your frustration. I want you to know that I would probably share it in your situation. But I think that focusing on the plan at this point is primary and paramount.
Good, then we're in agreement.
Thank you, Sakaar, for sharing your
self
with us.
Yeah, thanks.
It is appreciated. I think we should all give him a round of applause.
There's no need for that.
Really?
Takes a lot to do that.
Yeah.
In any case, the plan?
We're going to contact the elves.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
We're going to tell them that the Coil are moving through the mountains to a secret location. And if the elves know of anything or can help us get to that location or cut them off at the pass, so to speak, then we need their help immediately. My guess is the Coil are going to be well-armed because there's already been one attack on their complex.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing we need to figure out is how are we going to counteract their weapons? And they have some pretty cool weapons. They have this one thing that looks like a broom that shoots lightning out of it.
Mm-hmm.
They have another thing that shoots these pineapple things and makes them explode.
Mm-hmm. I'm much more concerned with the tanks than the personal armaments.
They have
the
tanks.
Can we get a hold of one of those?
A tank?
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, we got a hold of that the modified one.
Yeah.
Again, the elves might be able to help us. There have been tanks stationed in their territory that are largely just for show. So if they're not actually heavily manned, that's a real possibility.
Because that thing wasn't that difficult to drive.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, that would even the playing field a bit.
Hmm.
But
it was kind of slow,
else,
though.
Yeah. Well, so what we want to do is talk to the elves, see if we can get a scout to get an idea of what kind of force they've got transporting Lek, and we can plan from there.
I think we need to set up a meeting with them. We're not going to be able to get the correct all the information necessary over a simple sending.
Reasonable. So, yeah, if you want to send a sending and tell them the basics and ask if there's a place that we can meet them outside the city, then we can go from there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I've got 20. It's Orym. We're headed to the mountains to intercept the Coil. They have our asset. We need your help.
Hmm.
Okay. Meeting place?
Yes. There you go.
Where should we meet? That's 4.
Where should we meet?
Okay. And who's this going to?
This is going to... the leader of the elves, Leandel, whom we've all met.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the sending would go to her without a problem. Send.
Okay. You get something back. Meet us at Bloodletters Pass.
I got a message back. We are to meet them at Bloodletters Pass, which,
look,
got to tell you, after Monster Town, Bloodletters Pass, Murderville, I mean, Bloodletters Pass.
Mm. Sounds par for the course.
Do you know where Bloodletters Pass is? I'm asking the crowd of people who should know the region.
The bird, the other bird, the bull.
Yes, the rat. And the rat.
Yes.
Bird, the bull, the gold watch, and the girl, something like that.
I don't seem to have a map of anything right. involving Bloodletter's past, but Rodrigo, can I figure out what that is?
Not really. It's well outside of the city, but Big Teach pipes up and says, I know where it is.
Oh, good. How far away is it?
If we wait till morning and make the trek in daylight, it should be a little under a day's walk.
You okay playing guide?
Certainly.
All right. Will the three of you be joining us on the rest of this mission?
Oh, yeah.
Orm is asking the
Devas.
The Devas.
Yeah, Queen's Revelle is like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm in.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And these guys are in, too.
All right.
Can you get us there faster? I'm not sure how your teleportation works. I know how Face Step works. But I don't know if you have that ability,
yeah,
to.
It's not like that.
Okay.
No, not really. We would have to... If we wanted to drop in someplace, we'd have to go back to Oversight and then figure out all the calculations and then come back.
Ah, okay.
So it would probably be faster, especially if it's just a day's walk for us to just walk.
Okay.
We can figure it. We'll start brainstorming other things, too, that we can do.
All right. Sounds like we have a plan. Is this a secure location?
Bloodletter's Pass?
No, the place where we're at right now.
I mean, there's no one around.
To hold for tonight?
Yeah, so we can get some rest for the night.
It's evening by now.
Oh, okay. Mm. That was a long story.
Yeah, you guys spend a lot of time walking through a sewer.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a big sewer.
Yeah.
Plus, you can tell they spent a lot of money on the special effects.
Yep, we've blown out our budget, so you guys are going to be fighting cardboard cutouts.
It's time for a bottle episode.
Yeah. Could be worse. We could have bought a Dario Speedwagon song and shot the budget for the whole season.
Yep.
Okay, well then, maybe we should rest for the night. Everybody's rested. We'll leave in the morning. Well, I look at Little Sparkle's companions.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you don't need to go back for any reason?
Well, yeah. Are you going to be missed if you don't show up for work tomorrow?
Oh, it should be okay. I think everyone is... everyone's pretty shaken, so I assume it's going to be kind of chaos in there. And I already have all my paperwork filed, so they're not going to be like, hey, where's this guy that has all his work done?
And you're sure you want to do this? Because this could easily wind up with people shooting at you.
No, I get that. But also, no offense to you, but I'm a really fantastic bureaucrat, and I think you're going to need that. If there's any way for you guys to walk in the front door, I'm probably the one to figure it out.
Fair enough.
And what about you, my ba'a?
Oh, yeah. I'm in till Cho says otherwise.
All right.
Okay.
Are you in contact with Cho?
In a way. I can talk to her through the Whisper Mad.
Okay. Orm's eyes light up.
What's the Whisper Mad?
If you really want to know, we'll let you see it someday.
Orm just gets this big grin on his face.
Well, you can tell her that if she wants to send reinforcements, we'll take some.
Okay.
I'll take first watch.
The Queen's Rebellion's daughter, points with her thumb, like, past the camp. She's like, we're gonna go for a walk. We gotta, talk team a little bit. You know, smooth things out.
Okay.
Okay.
But we'll scout while we're out, too. We'll keep an eye out.
Okay. I kind of... hey, Little Sparkle. Hey, can I tell you something real quick?
Sure.
So we step away from the group. I understand that Cho'o and the group are, you know, their own team of people. And it seems like your different guilds are all competing for things. Have we maybe said too much? Are we do we have to worry about Cho'o
interfering? She's not affiliated with the guild. And she has every reason to hate the guilds. That's part of why her and her people are the way they are.
But we don't have to worry about someone turning sides at the last minute?
No. Oh, you're... No, I don't think so. I trust Techie, and I've been working with Teach since long before I met you guys, and the sewer can have no reason to switch sides, especially if they all know the stakes being that they might, you know, this place might just get blown up if the coil actually succeed. So,
but you don't think any of them would turn against us for their own gain or for their group's gain?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that they all, Tekiadol and Teach are friends, and Cho'o, I think, knows that she can trust me, and that I don't know what she could possibly gain, that the coil would not be her friend, and I am, so.
Okay, I trust you, you know.
I mean, I could be wrong. It's been a long time. I haven't seen Cho'o in more than a year, but it doesn't make any sense to me that she would do something like that.
Right. I'm just saying that you would know everyone here a lot better than we would.
No, that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. It's possible. I can't guarantee it, but I am not going to try to kick anyone out at this point.
Okay, great. Well, Little Sparkle, thank you. I was very concerned that, as we're walking back to the camp, I was very concerned that the time spent in the sewers would really have set in on my clothing. Yeah. So thank you for your help.
No problem. I mean, you're just lucky you didn't get filth fever, because that is nasty. Filth fever?
Okay. Ooh, thank goodness I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Little Sparkle had it for a while.
yeah,
that was the worst.
That was terrible. I thought for sure Teach was just gonna kill you when you showed up with soup.
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't. That's kind of when I started figuring that something was going on.
Well, yeah, because I came to the door. Teach was asleep on the couch, and I thought that you were my dad waking me up for school. I'm covered in were-rat bites.
Whoa, really?
Oh, yeah. That was when we first met Cho'o.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, strange bedfellows, right?
Yeah.
Life of excitement.
They got a lot better at controlling things.
Okay. Hey, Sakaar?
Yes?
Can I chat with you for a second before you go to sleep?
Certainly.
Do you actually sleep? Do you need to sleep?
You've seen me sleep.
I mean, you could be closing your eyes to pretend to be human, much like, do you eat food?
You've seen
him eat food.
Yeah, I know, but maybe he, like, I don't know, vomits it out later.
In all the ways that matter, I'm no different than any of you, save for a lack of a bill. But yes, I sleep. Yes, I eat.
He just sometimes also eats people.
Yeah,
eat people.
Oh, really?
Do you need to drink blood or something before we head out?
No, not at this time, but thank you.
And do you want to give us a rundown of the things you've been hiding from us that might be proving useful?
I'm not exactly sure what you might mean.
All right. Can you, I don't know, hypnotize people? Can you turn into mist? I honestly don't actually know that much about vampires.
Actually, you've seen him turn into mist.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of, I assume that for your characters, a lot of stuff is clicking.
Yes.
I always thought that was some kind of magic warden thing ability. But yeah, no, that's, so yeah, how often, I mean, I guess, yeah, with the whole invisibility thing and moving through walls, that all tracks. Can you, bite people when we're fighting them and make them weak?
I can, yes.
Why don't you do that?
Because he didn't want to tip his hat about being a vampire.
Well.
Thank you.
Hazar. Also, I'm sure random people don't taste great. Well, no.
Sure of that?
Wait.
I have an opinion on that matter.
Oh. And this is one of many reasons why we do not speak of it. Random people do not taste well. Some not important. That is not important.
But very interesting. So
this is why you should have told us when we were crossing the ocean.
I agree. I should have told you, and I came close, and I. It's one of the few things that I find myself lacking in courage for. I wasn't sure how Warden Duthane would respond.
What?
Have you looked at him lately? Have you heard his adventures?
I heard his adventures. I didn't truly realize until I met you and Master Rivendorn exactly the... Nonetheless, it was a mistake. It was a miscalculation. I should have told you long before this. But yes, you've seen me sleep.
And eat.
Yes. And fish. Sometimes I get bored.
Apparently he breathes too. Doesn't jump well, but you know. He's just like you and me.
All of those times that you tried to jump up on things, could you have just turned into a bat and fly over there, but you were just hiding from us? Because that would be really embarrassing.
No. I do not turn into a bat.
Well, you turn into a snake. But that's probably your warden-y stuff.
Well, serpents and I have a certain understanding.
And that you both have hypnotic eyes? And fangs?
Yeah, I knew it was a mistake to tell you. I have to say, I do feel better.
Good.
Oh, we could have gotten this out of the way a long time ago.
Understandable.
6 months, stuck on a boat, with nobody but the four of us.
Ask yourself, how much better would it have been had you known you were stuck on that boat with a vampire?
Well, Orm doesn't
sleep, so...
There's three sets of eyes watching here. So, I don't know that Randus would be the safest bet to do anything to.
So suddenly there's a young girl standing over there. She's got long brown hair, dark skin. She's wearing rags, basically. She says, I get it. I'm guessing you didn't choose to be half vampire?
Not precisely, no.
Well, I didn't choose to be a were-rat either, and I still wouldn't have told them.
Huh. Thank you.
How are you turned?
The sewer can are not the only were-rats around, so... I was turned out on a farm. My parents died. And Cho took me in. This was long after you had helped them. I've only heard stories about the Free Enterprise. But I understand it. You know, people don't react very well. Some things like elves you know, they've got a good reputation.
Mm.
Some things like vampires or lycanthropes, obviously people are immediately afraid of them. It takes a lot of trust to let somebody know something like that. That's why I'm a rat most of the time. It's easier to be a rat than it is to be a were-rat. And sometimes it's a lot easier to be a rat than to be a girl.
How old does she look?
About 17.
All right. Well, we should all go to sleep then.
Does anybody... I mean, I'm looking at Techie and Teach mostly. Does anybody need to go back into town for anything?
No, I'm fine. And Tekiro's like, I'm not going back into town. I don't know that I could find my way back here.
Okay.
You have someone with you.
Oh, no, I'm fine. Thanks.
Okay.
Do you have...
Sorry, I'm new here, by the way. this is like my first mission.
Do you have weapons?
I do. And he like pulls out a knife. In case things get rough.
Stay behind everyone else.
Okay. Yeah, I'll watch your backs.
Exactly. In fact, watch my back specifically.
Okay.
You know what? I can show you some pointers with the knife.
Yeah, that's the part that stabs me.
Good call. Yeah.
You stab them with a pointy end.
Yeah.
Good. You're halfway there.
Step one.
All right. So if you're looking at Sakaar's back, I assume that the organs are in the right place, but I guess that could be wrong. Oh, future testing. But so you're going to want to go right there. That's the kidney, and that's going to hurt the most.
I see. Okay, I don't... Honestly, when it comes down to it, I don't know that I'm going to be able to aim for something I can't see.
Fair enough.
How do necks react when you stab them?
They not don't like well. It either.
Oh, so good, right? I'll just try for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Sounds good. Keep it simple.
And what about you?
Hmm?
Do you have a weapon?
I have a staff.
Okay.
Oh, and the... quiet assurance that the spirits are with me.
Great. Who said that?
Big Teach. Okay. I assume that's what you were asking.
Exactly. Okay. And
Maba'a?
Do you need anything?
You've seen what I can do.
Yeah. Kind of.
Could you do?
I mean, she can turn into a giant rat and maul someone if necessary.
Okay.
Unless they're a werewolf or a vampire.
Right. So if the coil have any of those, you guys will have to take care of that.
Wait, the sewer kid can't attack werewolves and vampires?
We can attack werewolves. We just can't attack vampires.
Why?
Professional courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's plenty of stuff that, like, is nasty, like, I mean, not, like, that, like, is contagious that, you know, can attack each other. Like, if were rats and werewolves can attack each other, and, like, I don't know, I assume, like, vampires can attack ghouls, why is it specifically, like...
The vampires and the werewolves have an agreement. And that agreement is sometimes enforced whether you like it or not.
The world is an interesting place.
Oh, I have a feeling it's going to get a whole lot more interesting.
That's what frightens me.
Come on, this is a great adventure. Look at how big our team is now.
Yeah, your party basically doubled in size,
right? Yeah, it did, almost tripled.
And then some.
The Fellowship of 11.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, figure that one out, five-man band people on TV Tropes. What are we now? We got nine big guys and... No, wait.
Some four chicks, so good luck.
Yeah.
Five, maybe.
Two smart guys and Ket, who is sixth ranger.
Yeah, there's just way too much Venn diagram. It's like... five smart guys. Some of those are the big guy. Like half of those are the chick.
Somebody needs to figure out how an 11-man band works.
Yes.
I think you should look at Boston's first album.
Or Chicago.
Chicago is also a good example. I call Peter Cetera.
I call the Tower of Power Brass.
Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. That's who we are.
There you go. All right, everybody. That's where we better wrap it up as everyone goes to sleep for the night as the big adventure awaits in the morning, or for most of you next week on Critical Hit. Podcast at majorspoilers.com. Until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.